Welcome to the Technology Lab, presented by CPA Practice Advisor, with your hosts, Randy Johnston and Brian Tankersley.
Good day, friends. Welcome to our Technology Lab. This is Randy Johnston with my co-host, Brian Tankersley. And today we'd like to talk to you about how we keep up with technology. Now, to a degree, when Brian and I were talking about this episode and preparing for it, you know, there could be a concern. Are we giving you too much of the secret sauce? But I would tell you that having followed technology now myself for over 50 years, Brian for a good number of years, and I invest anywhere from 2 to 10 hours a week, sometimes more, on the reading or listening that it takes to keep up. Now, again, not trying to say, oh, aren't we great? We're doing all that for you. But, you know, bottom line is what we do is we try to summarize the things that we're learning. We try to synthesize them into something that's actionable and make suggestions. So what got actually me started on this topic, and Brian said, hey, that isn't a bad topic, is I have recommended books to read related to technology for a while. And it turns out that the books that I've recommended sometimes are not technology connected. For example, the Why We Sleep book by Matthew Walker that I recommended last year, or the What to Eat When book is another pretty interesting one, or Toxic Legacy about glyphosate. All those are interesting to me, but that's because I have kind of a weird science background, if you will. And of course, I tend to like to read Neil deGrasse Tyson. And what really got me started on this is having just completed a book on quantum supremacy by Michio Kaku, which we'll also talk about in another technology lab. But, you know, the net here on the books for me has been things like The Metaverse by Matthew Ball, or Stolen Focus by Johan Hari, or Dignity in a Digital Age by Ro Khanna, got me started over the last few years getting back into just book reading to try to summarize things. So I threw a bunch of books at you in a hurry. Again, our intent is we'll publish a list of these so you can see them, but those books I just named are in our K2 Tech Update session, so you can see them directly that way. So Brian, I started off with a long doggone rant, but you know, the fact of the matter is, between the two of us, or between our entire K2 team, we get a lot of resources that are fed to us, and we try to, again, separate out the chaff from the wheat and just talk about what we consider to be the good stuff publicly. So, you know, talk to me about the type of things that you follow, that you consume, and so forth, because it's many a day that you bring me something that I've never heard of before. And I hope every once in a while, even a blind pig finds an acorn. That's kind of the way I feel like I am when I'm talking to you about, here's something new. And it's like, yeah, I knew that.
Well, but what I will say is that I find podcasts to be helpful. In particular, the podcast, I listen to some of the Twit podcasts, and there are three I listen to that come out on Sunday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, respectively, This Week in Tech, Windows Weekly, and Security Now. And I try to listen to them every week, and I don't get that done because these podcasts are quite often in the, you know, 2 to 3 hour range. So when you put them together, that's 8 hours of your life. But I spend enough time driving in the car and, doing expense reports and, running my chainsaw in the backyard or picking up, doing yard work that what I do is when I'm doing something else, rather than listen to music or other things like that, I quite often will listen to podcasts. And you know, I don't absorb 100% of what's on there. And quite often I get tied up in the middle of something else and I miss 20 minutes of the podcast. But what I try to do is to take that background time when I'm doing nothing. Or, you know, like this last week, I was organizing my shop and moving the tools out of 15 old toolboxes into a series of cabinets. And, you know, while I was doing that, I listened to all kinds of podcasts. So the thing to remember here is that I'm trying to, you know, I try to keep my brain going all the time so I can keep up with things. Now, there are a lot of great writers. You're a good writer. Brian Livingston and Susan Bradley in the Ask Woody paid newsletter is one we pay for. I pay for Paul Thurrott at Thurrott.com, Thurrott.com. Rick Richardson, I think, has some of the best accounting technology insights. But he's, you know, it's a little harder to get than it used to be now that he's not at some of the big conferences. But I would say that those are all sources that I use pretty heavily.
Well, you know, Brian, as you were thinking about that in our preparation, I mentioned, of all things, my high school instructor. And I'll name him by name, Del Canar. And it was funny because, you know, as we come up on our class reunions, he attended many of them. But one of the most insightful and interesting things he taught us was that the value of content is related to its publishing format. A book more valuable than a magazine, more valuable than a newspaper. And I think about how many books today are kind of, you know, generated out of mills. And I really look at them and say, this is not a very thoughtfully published book. So I do worry about that. You know, Dell taught us a lot of other things. For example, one that upril with the surest sota, the drought of March hath pierced to the rota. And I'm sure all of you need to know the Canterbury Tales in Old English, you know, as it turns out. But those publications that I read that have a lot of help to me that come out more or less daily include things like 1440 or Axios, which has an AM and PM version, and they also have a merger acquisition version with Pro. So many of the tools that we buy today are involved with private equity and venture capital. That's a nice one. Also the Daily Skim. And then for pleasure, I read The Economist and Time on a weekly basis, and I get through those pretty much on their weekly or biweekly publishing cadence. But another one that's also served me well, which came from our friend Dr. Bob Spencer, was Semaphore. And Semaphore has a very nice daily news summary, but they also have a tech and a business version. And the tech has been very insightful. So, you know, you just listen to this, and we're not anywhere near done yet. So, Brian, other key things that you just call out and you say that, oh, yeah, that's really a great deal for me. And, you know, as you think about that, what?
I think you have to go to the big publications like Wall Street Journal and New York Times. I actually have a paid Wall Street Journal article, and I can get enough New York Times that I don't necessarily have to pay for it to get it. Slashdot is good. Microsoft does a good job of communicating things when they come out. It does take some work to figure out the wheat from the chaff in the announcements because it is written by PR people. Crunchbase is another helpful one for identifying competitors and startups and funding rounds and those kinds of things like that. I would say that the, you know, of the trades that you see, you know, we both read both of those fastidiously, you know, Accounting Today, CPA Practice Advisor, Insightful Accountant. I think one of the more underappreciated sites in there is actually ERP Global Insights, which is Bob Scott's newsletter, which is actually a free newsletter. You can get it every week. And Bob is, you know, Bob is the Woodward and Bernstein of the accounting profession. You know, he really gets to the heart of things a lot better than a lot of the traditional folks do because he just does what he's going to do. And, you know, he really, you know, I love running into Bob and talking to him because he comes at things from a different angle and he always comes up with a lot of good scoops.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm just going to call out on Bob while you're on, Bob. I've had the fortune, good fortune, of being with him at multiple conferences this year. And a little historical insight on this. I've known Bob for right at 40 years. And in fact, when he was writing for the technology press, we actually spent time together on Kauai at a technology event. And so that was the same event where I met Michael Landon before he passed away. So Bob and I go back into the 80s, as it turns out. But the best positioning for him is he's an old gumshoe beat reporter, investigative reporter, and he ferrets out things at a very low level. And he
he's the Perry White, if you think of the editor in Superman, was so all about digging. Bob Scott is Perry White.
And it turns out that, you know, he and I have both been around accounting software so long, we can talk back and forth. And that's not to take anything away from Dan Hood, for example. You know, we just had a beautiful conversation with Dan about what happened in accounting software over time, and so forth.
Or Isaac, or Gail, or Isaac, or, you know, or Seth Feinberg. I mean, there are a lot of bright people in this industry, to be sure.
Yeah. So our key here is we think it is helpful for you to follow the trades. Now, as it turns out, because it's hard to remember all this stuff, Brian years ago started his CPA tech blog and has accumulated a lot of items there. I have put a lot of things on my randyjohnston.com site, including merger acquisition information, as well as reading sources for me. And then, you know, from there, you know, for quite a long time when it was being tracked, Brian was frequently in the top 100 leaderboard on social media and deserved it. But, you know, he didn't suffer from what I called Twitteria, you know, just mindlessly putting out stuff that had no value. He put out stuff that seemed to make sense and was useful in his Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook feeds and so forth. And I would say for me, you know, when, you know, I've kind of caught up on everything else, I'll turn to Flipboard for a little bit on the technology side. And I frequently bump into something on Flipboard. It's like, huh, how did I miss that? But I also have that same experience when I'm reading The Economist or Time. It's like, huh, how did I miss that? So you got to think that what we're trying to do is help you understand the very many, many feeds that we use to keep up on technology, not to mention our direct consulting work done with publishers, which we've done for a long time. And, you know, our rule of thumb is we keep everything that's under development quiet under non-disclosure until it pops. And because of that, Brian and I get the opportunity to help set a lot of trends. Unfortunately, we also get to watch a lot of management teams make their own decisions that aren't favorable necessarily for the accounting profession. So we've seen it go both ways. So Brian, I guess
we don't have a monopoly on good ideas by any stretch of the imagination, but we get to see more things at a 30,000 foot view than most of you do. You know, I would suggest that I probably invest on the order of 15 hours a week, most weeks, trying to keep up with things. And that's 15 hours of focus, not 15 hours of I'm going to run the podcast in the background while I'm folding clothes. So the thing I would suggest to you here is that when you combine, you know, the stuff we've listed out today really gives you some insights into some of the sources that we follow and tell you why we follow many of them. They usually have good scoops and everything. The other thing, though, that I would suggest to you is that when, you know, the direct conversations that we get to have going to conferences with a lot of the leaders in the profession about what's coming and why it's coming, you know, the question I think that many of us overlook is we worry so much about what and how we're going to tactically respond to something. We sometimes miss the why. And so if I had one question to have in the back of your mind, whenever you're trying to keep up, ask why. because it puts the stuff in context better, and it helps you understand better the motivation behind this, and that helps you make better that helps me make better predictions. You know, there's some things where Randy and I were talking before we got started, where I said, you know, like Intuit raising price until people switch over to QuickBooks Online, because they just announced their price raises as we're recording this in early August. And, you know, I just wanted to say, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so. But Randy was in agreement with me when I said it, but it's probably been 10 years ago that we identified that the way they were going to force people off the desktop was to raise price until they screamed and then keep raising price until they left. And that seems to be what's happened.
It does seem to be what's happening. And, you know, you're absolutely right, Brian. There is no condition under which either of us think we have any monopoly on good ideas, because I see lots of brilliant people. In fact, the way I've said that historically is, I'm a pretty simple guy from Kansas. KS stands for keep it simple. And I'll go into a meeting and listen to all of the, you know, back patting and, you know, bravado, and just say, you know, I don't think that's the way it works. I think this is the deal. And you'd be amazed how many times I've been thrown out of meetings and then invited back. But one thing we try to make sure we're never doing in the technology lab is we're not trying to produce more digital drivel, as I call it now. And we have debated about helping you identify things out there that may not be helpful. But in this thinking, you know, I used to list the top 10 features of accounting software, the strengths and the top 10 weaknesses. And I concluded that the weaknesses were not all that helpful, although I thought they were. And likewise, through the years, I've concluded that there's, you know, 10 or 12 right ways to use technology and hundreds of wrong ways. So all we're trying to do is keep you on the rails of logic that makes sense. Well, Brian, you know, I love this conversation, because it's like, I can't believe how many things I learned from you just in this conversation I didn't know. But what other ideas would you maybe part with for our listeners today?
Well, I would suggest to you that you know, Randy, I think one of the advantages we have being consultants is that we can identify the 800-pound gorilla in the room and call it out by name. And then if we get fired as consultants, we get fired as consultants. But our job is to speak truth. And so, you know, I think many times in big organizations, there becomes a lot of groupthink, and the politics takes over, and we get away from truth. And so we do our level best to give you the best insights that we can get a hold of, that we can have, you know, but I'm a product of the public school system in Tennessee, and, you know, we're 49 out of 50 for a reason, baby. So, you know, Randy and I both come at this as, you know, we're from simple places. I'm from Knoxville, Tennessee. He's from Hutchinson, Kansas. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think, you know, if you look at who some of the most successful investors are, there are people that come from humble beginnings. I mean, look at Warren Buffett. You know, I'd love to have his record, but I don't propose to be a Warren Buffett. I'm just a guy telling jokes for a living, trying to you know, educate people on accounting technology. But we're very blessed to have an audience with you, and we appreciate you joining us every time you do that.
Yeah. So, you know, thank you, Brian. And, you know, our goal with the Technology Lab, and frankly in our lives, is to give you practical, executable advice. And when I sit in meetings with major hardware creators and software publishers, I'm trying to give them the best possible advice, because I'm a bigger pie guy. I think if we make things better, people will buy more things, if you will, and there's more profit for everybody. I'm certainly not an exclusionist on that thinking. And so, you know, my rule for the Technology Lab is we're trying to help you understand what is some of the best out there so you can make your own decision. And we try to not talk about, or at least warn you away from, technologies that we think could get you in trouble. So there are many interesting potholes we're going to try to help you navigate around in future technology labs. And we appreciate you listening today, and we'll talk with you again soon. All the best.
Thank you for sharing your time with us. We'll be back next week with a new edition of the Technology Lab, brought to you by CPA Practice Advisor.